Okay, we want to get started this morning. I want to welcome everybody that's watching online today to join us in our Bible study as we go on from here in the book of Zechariah. We're going to go back to the fifth chapter because I didn't finish that, and then I wasn't able to come last Sunday because I looked like somebody from the Middle East with a turban on. I had my head all wrapped up where I had surgery on my ear, and I'm down to a Band-Aid now, so I'm doing real good. But I'm just glad when they took the bandage off, I didn't look like Spock, or an elf. Anyway, it's healing up. That's the main thing. Kay, I'm praying Kay can be here next Sunday. She started physical therapy Friday, and she'll be going 3 days a week for physical therapy. But we were in Louisville Tuesday and Wednesday, and they were satisfied with her healing and her progress. So that was a good thing. So, okay. All right, we're in chapter 5. And chapter 5 deals with God's judgment on sin. And I'm just going to go back and hit some points that we studied about in there to remind you of what it was about and where we're at as we go through that. And then we're going on to chapter 6. I looked again, and there before me was a flying scroll. And he asked me, "What do you see?" And I answered, "I see a flying scroll 30 feet long and 15 feet wide." And he said to me, "This is a curse that is going out over the whole land. For according to what it says on one side, every thief will be banished. And according to what it says on the other, everyone who swears falsely will be banished. And the Lord Almighty declares, I will send it out, and it will enter the house of the thief and the house of him who swears falsely by my name. And it will remain in his house and destroy it, both his timbers and it's stoned." Then the angel who was speaking to me came forward and said to me, "Look up and see what this is that is appearing." And I asked, "What is it?" And he replied, "It is a measuring basket." Your translation may say ephah or barrel. That is a high standard of measurement with the Jews at that time. Okay? And I asked, "What is it?" And he replied, "It is a measuring basket." And he added, "This is the iniquity or sin of the people throughout the land." Then the cover of lead was raised, and there in the basket sat a woman. And he said, "This is wickedness." And he pushed her back in the basket and pushed the lid cover down over its mouth. Then I looked up, and there before me were two women, with the wind in their wings, and they had wings like those of a stork, and they lifted up the basket between heaven and earth. "Where are they taking the basket?" I asked the angel who was speaking to me, and he replied, "To the country of Babylon." Babylonia. Your translation may say Shinar, which was the Old Testament word for Babylon. Okay, so Shinar and Babylonia is the same thing. To the country of Babylonia to build a house for it. When it is ready, the basket will be set there in its place. All right, now this is the fifth chapter. Now, first of all, the first thing that we see is the judgment on the sinner. The judgment on the sinner. And there are three things that you see there. First of all, the first thing that we see was a flying scroll. So we see the criteria, or I think a better word is the standard for God's judgment. The standard for God's judgment on every sinner. And that is the Word of God. The scroll represents the Word of God. It is unfurled. He could see the length and the breadth of it. And it was the same size as the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle, the scroll was. But it represents the Word of God, the standard by which every sinner will be judged. And that's the first thing that we see. And so then the next thing that we see is not only the standard or criteria for the judgment, but we see the completeness of the judgment. We see the completeness of the judgment. And what is that? And he said to me, verse 3, this is the curse that is going out over the whole land or the whole earth. So the judgment is going to be over everyone in the whole earth. That is the completeness of the judgment that is going to take place at that time. All right, now then, as we read on, and he said to me, this is a curse that is going out over the whole land, for according to what it says on one side, every thief will be banished, and according to what it says on the other, everyone who swears falsely will be banished. Now then, we talked about this two Sundays ago, and that was the Ten. These are two commandments out of the Ten Commandments. When the Ten Commandments were given, they were written on stone by the hand of God, and these commandments would be in the middle. There are five commandments on each side of the tablet, and these are in the middle of each of the five, representing the whole of the commandments. And Scripture says if you've broken the command in one place, you've broken all the law. In other words, everyone is guilty before Almighty God. That is why everyone must repent of their sins and be saved, because everyone is under the curse of the law and everyone is a sinner before Almighty God. And we are all guilty of breaking God's law and God's commandments. The law of God cannot save anyone. It can only make them guilty. It can only reveal to them their sin and lead them to Christ for salvation. So this is what he's saying here. This is what we see. And now then we see the certainty of God's judgment. The certainty of God's judgment. The Lord Almighty declares, I will send it out, and it will enter the house of the thief and the house of him who swears falsely by my name, and it will remain in his house and destroy it, both its timbers and its stones. All right, that is the certainty of God's judgment. God said, I am the one that's doing this. I will send it out, and this is what it will do. It will absolutely destroy everyone that is found guilty, everyone that has never repented of their sins and placed their faith in Christ will be absolutely destroyed, as it talks about this house being absolutely destroyed, down to the timbers and the stones. Okay? So we see then in the sinner's judgment, we see the standard by which they'll be judged. We see the completeness by which the judgment will come. And we see the certainty of the judgment that will come on the sinner. So that's the first thing that we see here in chapter 5 in the book of Zechariah. Now then, we go on from there. And let me get my notes caught up here, because I don't want to miss anything, because there are certain things that I wanted to bring out that I didn't have time before. And If I don't look, I will miss something that's important. I could show you some scriptures on the judgment, such as Romans 2:1. Let me give you some scriptures real quick, okay? Because if I go too slow, I won't get through much. Romans 2:1, you therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. On truth. That's Romans chapter 2, verse 2. Romans chapter, I know that God's judgment is based on truth. So again, this is, thy word is truth. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about God's Word being the standard for judgment upon all mankind. Now I'm going to John chapter 5 and verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word, all right, here's the word again, and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, his time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. So he says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and what? And believes in him who sent me, Jesus said. So we find the same thing when we look at this in the scriptures here. All right, now then, I got to go on from where I'm at. And when this judgment comes, it speaks of it in Revelation chapter 5. And that's where I'm going now. That's not where I got the wrong scripture written down, I think. Oh, no, I didn't. That's just speaking of the scroll, of a scroll like, let me go ahead and read from chapter 5 in Revelation, beginning in the first verse. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven and earth. And we know the only one that was is down in verse 6. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by four living creatures and the elders. And he had seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, set out into all the earth. And he came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne, and when he had taken it, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before who? The Lamb. And each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God. So here we have Christ taking the scroll out of the hand of the Father. Now, what happens then in this scroll when it is open? Every seal that is broken and every part that is open brings forth what? Judgment. Because when you get to chapter 6, that begins the judgment upon the earth. Then I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, come, I look, and there before me was a white horse. And in the rider held a bow, and he was giving a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. And so we have the beginning of judgments here on chapter 6 after this scroll is opened by Christ, taken from the Father. Now these four horsemen here in chapter 6 of Revelation are important because we're going to see the same thing in Zechariah chapter 6 when we get to it. You're going to see the correlation between chapter 6 of Revelation and chapter 6 of Zechariah when we get to it, okay? We'll be coming back to this. But I wanted to show you that the scroll represents judgment, and the standard for judgment is the Word of God, okay? This is all stuff that I didn't have time to get to two Sundays ago when we were studying this. All right, Now, I'm going to the book of Jude. If you want to find Jude, you just go back before the start of Revelation, and you'll have the book of Jude. And the book of Jude is just one chapter, but you look at chapter 1, verse 14. Book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 14. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming. Now, what has he been talking about? He's been talking about sin and the judgment of sin and the doom that is going to take place on the earth. Okay? And so when you come to the 14th verse, he said, these men, see, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of holy ones. Now, this holy ones has been translated by a lot of scholars two different ways. One translates it as angels. Another translates it as the saints, the raptured saints that are coming with God, with Christ to earth. So there's two different ways this. So it could be either one. That's what I'm saying. But we know it will. But this is what we know. He is coming with both. The resurrected saints and the angels. We know he's coming with both. But as for the holy ones here in the scripture, it could represent the angels or it could represent the raptured saints. Okay? That's what I was trying to get you to see. Okay? He's thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge who? Everyone. To judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So here he's talking about the same time when Christ returns and the judgment that will happen at that time. And remember, that judgment is called the judgment of the goats and the sheep that will take place that we're looking at this time of the return of Christ to the Mount of Olives when he actually comes back and lands on planet Earth and Israel is surrounded by its enemies. That's what we see. That's the time and place that we see that Zechariah is talking about here. And Jude is talking about the same thing here. All right, now I'm going back to Zechariah. All right, now then. Get my stuff in order. I'm wanting to get through this all so I can start on chapter 6 tonight. So the first thing we saw was God's judgment on the sinner. The second thing that we see is in there in chapter 5 of verse 5 of chapter 5, and that is his judgment upon sin. First the sinner, then the judgment upon sin, and sin is represented by the woman in the basket. Now, you have to understand this. This is not a knock against women. Because if you look in the Old Testament, every time Israel strayed away from God, from Jehovah, they were going after what? Other gods. And he called them harlots because Israel had become unfaithful to God and were going after other gods. And so in the scripture in the Old Testament, he called them harlots because they were not faithful to God the Father who had brought them out of bondage and had raised them up as a nation and were going after other gods. Now, he called their going after other gods whoring. And so he called them harlots because they were unfaithful and they were going after idolatry and other gods. So that's where all this comes from, this terminology, when you see it here in Zechariah. When it's talking about women, it's talking about wickedness. When he has this vision, it's talking about wickedness, and he's talking about that because of Israel's unfaithfulness, going into idolatry and going after other gods in the Old Testament. And that's what we see then when we look here in verse 5. Then the angel who was speaking to me came forward and said to me, "Look up and see what this is that is appearing." And that was the measuring basket. Now, why the measuring basket? Well, as I mentioned to you, the ephah was the largest measure that the Jews had in their measuring system. Okay? So what this represents is the world is full to the top with wickedness and sinfulness before God. It is filled to the top with wickedness and sinfulness before God. And the representation then, it is by the woman in the basket, is by and large all of humanity, when the second coming of Christ will happen, will have gone, if you will, whoring after other gods, including the Antichrist. Okay. There was something I wanted to bring out, and it just went through. Yeah. You can call it a senior moment or a brain, you know what, but it went through. And it'll come back in a minute. Oh. Do you know what has made the world at the time of the second coming of Christ the basket full of sin? Do you know what the greatest sin of mankind will be at the second coming of Christ? Huh? Materialism. The only thing anybody will care about are themselves and what they can gain. That's the only thing that anybody will be concerned with. It will be the idolatry at the second coming of Christ. Materialism. Economics and whatever you can gain. The one with it will be like the one with the most toys wins. Whatever you can acquire. We're already mostly there. We're already mostly there. In much of the world today, you don't have a middle class. And it's getting that way in America. As America goes on, there will be less and less of a middle class. There will be the wealthy, and there will be everyone else. Do you realize that there is a small percentage of people that own about 90% of the wealth in the world today? And people measure themselves and somebody else not by their character, not by their faith, but by what they own, how much money they have, stocks and bonds, the economy, how you have thrived in the economy. That is going to be the standard of the day when Christ returns under the rule of the Antichrist. Why? Because unless you receive the mark of the beast, you will not be able to either buy nor sell. They will either be the wealthy or the poor, the saved and the unsaved, when Christ comes again. And so that is what we see represented in the basket. What is it? The measurement is full. It is full to the lid. Now then, he goes on to say, so we see judgment on the sinner. Now we see judgment on the sin. And the sin of idolatry and materialism will be the sin that it's talking about in that day. Okay? So we see the judgment on the sinner, the judgment on sin, and now we see the judgment upon the world system of sin. The world system is absolutely corrupt and sinful and wicked. And that's what we see represented here in what this vision is of the basket and the woman in the basket. And then notice what it says. The basket is full. Verse 7, then the cover of the lid was raised, and there in the basket sat a woman. He said, what? This is wickedness. And he pushed her back into the basket and pushed the lid cover down over its mouth. Then I looked up, there before me were two women with wind in their wings. Now, what are these? Well, the best I can figure out in studying this from other theologians is they are demons. And their job is to protect the system of the Antichrist. Their job is to protect the world system of the Antichrist, which is all based on economics and power and control. So what are they doing? They're taking the basket and they're flying away with it. Well, where are they taking it to? Shinar, which is Babylon, Babylonia. Now, if you go to Revelation, you will find out, and I haven't got time to go to the scriptures yet, but what you're going to find out that when it's talking about the judgment that is going, the final judgment that is going to come upon the earth, it says Babylon has what? Has fallen. Babylon has fallen. And every time it talks about Babylon, it talks about what? She. She has fallen. She is destroyed. In other words, Babylon represents the world system of the Antichrist at the time of the coming of Jesus Christ, and that system is absolutely being destroyed. See, it all began with Babylon and the Tower of Babylon. That's where this all began. What did man say? And this brings out something. I'm in the bathroom. I have my greatest revelations in the bathroom, by the way. But I'm in the bathroom getting ready this morning. All this stuff's going through my mind, okay? And I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about the Tower of Babylon. I'm thinking about why did they want to build this tower, and why did they build this tower? They said, look at what we have achieved. Look at our knowledge. And look at our power. We have become, they were saying of themselves, we have become like God. We will build a tower that will reach into the heavens. That's why God tore it down. That's why God scattered everybody and changed all the languages. Because he said, no, that ain't going to happen. When you get so full of yourself, you think you're like me, I'll destroy it. Now, I'm going to tell you what this country preacher thinks the Tower of Babylon, of Babel, is, and it's already being built. You know what it is? AI. artificial intelligence. Look at what we have done. Look at our knowledge. We can do anything. We can do anything. We have become omniscient like God. Think about it. Just think about it. He will not allow that. The basket has become full. He's saying, the demonic world is trying to protect the system. And he's saying, I'm telling you, I'll destroy Babylon and the system and everything that's on this earth that is ungodly. Total destruction. That's what this is saying here. Okay? Where are they, verse 10, where are they taking the basket? I asked the angel who was speaking to me. He replied, to the country of Babylonia to build a house for it. When it is ready, the basket will be set there in its place. In its place. That will be the... When he talks about Babylon, he's talking about the very symbol and the very essence of wickedness and the pride of mankind in the world. And he's saying, no. There's only one God, and that's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when you think you have become like me, I will absolutely destroy everything you have. And that's a vision in Zechariah. All right? Anybody got a question? Do you see what he sees and what he's talking about here? Okay, Debbie. Yeah. Well, to begin with, unless you accept the mark of the beast, you can't buy or sell. Your money's, if you got money, it's no good. Because where are we headed now? To a cashless society. To a cashless economy. It will finally get to the point where you handle no cash at all. And you won't have to have one of these cards. I got cards. You want to see my cards? I got cards. You won't need one of those cards. Right now, I can walk into Lowe's. I don't have to have any money. I was going to get something the other day, and I thought, well, I ain't got enough money in my billfold to buy that. And I thought, I'll just use my card. Well, there's coming a day you won't use your card. You use your hand or your wrist or whatever, and there'll be a chip embedded in you, and that chip will have all the information of all your assets, your wealth, your equity. Everything about you will be on that chip that'll be that you will accept under the Antichrist. And if you don't have that chip, you have no money.
No saved person will have the chip.
Right.
God will provide, I guess.
Right. But you won't have money. You won't have wealth. Only those that have the mark will be able to buy or sell, because it will be a cashless society, and they're the only ones that will be able to have the wealth.
The first time I ever went to a grocery store, they use that scanner to scan the food.
Yeah.
I'm like,
but that's the mark of the beast. No, but I tell you, oh, shoot. Well, I did get through chapter 5. Has anybody else got a question? Anybody else got a question? Can you see? I know it's very difficult. Zechariah is one of the most difficult books to understand and interpret in all of Scripture. But there is not another book in all of Scripture like Zechariah that covers the scope of all history into eternity. And Zechariah does. You know, when I said I'll teach through the book of Zechariah, I did not realize how great it was. It was something I wanted to do. It was something I realized was tremendous in prophecy. But I did not realize how rich it was till I started studying it. And when I started studying it, it was like, oh boy, this is good. This is really good. And the more I studied it, the more I thought, oh boy, this is really, really good. So you just wait till we get to chapter 6. Chapter 6 is the last vision of the 8. That's the last vision of the 8. And not that the book ends there and the study ends there, but that's the last of the 8 visions that Zechariah has. And because after that, it's not I saw, it's the Lord said to me. And so we'll start there tonight in chapter 6 in the book of Zechariah. Okay? And 5 is all about judgment. 6 is all about destruction. And the setting up of the kingdom. 6 is about the destruction of all Israel's enemies and God's enemies. And the setting up of the kingdom. That's what 6 is about. And it's really, really good. Okay? That means you have to come back tonight. If you miss this, I know it'll be online, but that's cheap. If you can come. Go ahead and turn us off, John, if we aren't. Let's pray together.